Past players, past legends, past legends.
Oh, yeah, massive. Absolutely massive, yeah. He knew how to lift you up, and he worked well in that position. And, like, he had the players at his disposal, but, like you said, when you're down and out and you start going into your shell, you start thinking about internally about how you're going, he would say a few things and let you have it, or just knew what just, how to work it.
Yeah.
Like any good manager, I suppose, knows their players and knows how they're going to respond. And I suppose he was probably head of the game in that respect. Now they have 15 different coaches, line coaches and everything. Yeah. And he just knew his squad and how to talk to certain people. And I just love playing for Jack. So he just would get out there and give it all. So
makes a big difference. Mate,
it does make a big difference, yeah.
So also, you know, 97 and we briefly touched on 98 there, that you had some success personally as part of Port's team, man. But you also got to represent South Australia in the State of Origin there and took home a Foss Williams medal.
Again, I think Russell Ebert looked after me. He was part of the selection team, being a Port man. I think Roo had a really good game that one as well. So, I don't know who else was in selectors. Maybe Robburn.
I reckon he was that year.
I'm not sure who else might have had an influence on that, but Russell coaching looked after me. So, that was amazing. Like to come together with Platts and Bradley and some of those guys that I just enjoyed watching play and be able to get it amongst it, and Gavin and it was unreal. It was just Darren Jarman and Andrew, and it was super, super good time. Knowing that you're part of that, probably at that stage you're part of the elite players in the competition from your state. So that's gives you a bit of confidence, and very disappointing they don't continue doing that these days. The State of Origin, I think it would still have its place, but.
Players want it. The problem is now.
Clubs are invested so heavily.
It's an insurance if someone gets injured. The litigate. Nowadays it's just how society's changed. There's no doubt the players want it. There's still enough of the players want it, but it's everything else on the other side.
They would. Yeah,
it's how society's changed in so many ways, and not for the better either.
I missed out a couple of years after, like 98 to 99. I was part of the teams or the squads, but I had a broken cheekbone on two occasions.
I couldn't play
in those other two. So I would have loved to have been on there. But, yeah, it is disappointing that things have changed in that year. But, it was a super time for me to be able to. I've got a West End beer can with a photo on the side. I've printed on the can. With all those guys,
so
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, bloody oath it is. Yeah. And then did you – so your time then at Port, you weren't getting a game as much, writing a bit on the wall, but again, as you said, we're all younger back then and all that. You nominated for the draft, you said afterwards, you thought, why in the hell did I do that sort of thing?
That's when
we're older, we're probably a bit more honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that matters at any level. We're always thinking, well, one more year, and it's only when you're older you go, you bloody idiot. I didn't. And that's at any level.
I remember signing a year contract for 2001, Rob Snowden. Come over and just was offered a year after coming off a 3-year contract, and you're like, this is the writing's on the wall, isn't it? so was just hoping to get another one. You just love being around the boys and your mates, and you just don't want to give that up. And it is hard to move away, and some guys do it better than others. Some guys walk away with a lot of not impressed. Other guys do it on their own terms. So,
to your credit, though, you did stay involved. Now, on memory, was that with your human movement, what you've been studying?
Yeah, I was at uni because I worked at North Point Toyota doing a little bit of car salesman out there, but that wasn't for me. and then went to uni and started studying, and I was heading down that path, coaching, sort of fitness coaching and strength training and that sort of stuff. But I hung around for a couple of years, and then I was like, am I hanging around the club just because it's all I know, or do I really, really want to be here? And asked a few hard questions, and then ended up, then I applied for the paramedics.
Paramedic, yeah.
And got into that. So, yeah. Did the running for a season as well with Jocko. That was good. But just, again, I felt like I needed to be around the club more to be, to do that position well. That sort of, you need to be probably full time, I think, to be around the guys and know the intricacies of what's going on match day. So, but a great experience nonetheless.
We'll circle back to your paramedics.
Yeah, I do want to come back to that.
We will come back to that. I have to ask, we talked about your junior coaches, but obviously some of your senior coaches there as well.
Yep. Mick Moldhouse, who else are we talking? Jack Choco. And then I had Matthew Knights a little bit at the Maggies late.
Oh, right.
Finish up. Steve Williams coached before Matthew Knights. Mm-hmm. So had a variety of guys. Obviously, probably Mick was probably the hardest out of all of them. Jack was the man, like we spoke about, it would just pump you up and still had his hard edge. Choco, bit of both. Choco yep. could blow his top and let the roof would come crashing down, but then he would put his arm around you and get you through some other times when you weren't going so well. So
pretty good development coach too, Choc. I watched him last year
during Gather Round.
And it's just interesting to watch. There's Goody as senior coach, and he was just sitting watching, and Choco did most of it. It was really interesting watching, again, how footy's changed in that regard, but was also watching Choco was some of the younger kids that hadn't played yet, just watching the drills he was doing with them, and he's an elite teacher of the game.
He knows the intricacies of the game, and he was a PE teacher before that, so that leadership just shone through, and obviously his family history, he was just made to be in that role. But he just had a good understanding of each player, knew their strengths and weaknesses, but also knew a bit about what was going on off the field, where Mick Moldhouse had no idea what you were like off the field. I felt when I was with him, he wouldn't have known who my partner's name was or anything like that. Back in the day, I wouldn't have thought. Maybe I got it wrong, but whether you like to go and have a surf or whether you'd like to play golf, he was just all footy. Obviously Mark Williams knew your ins and outs, and would work on everything with you and get you up for the game.
Now, back to the paramedic side of things, and you are extremely well-respected around the traps in the paramedic world, and that's not just from the illustrious David Atchier either. in terms of, so you were in the, you're just doing it casual, the odd shift here and there now, but how many years were you there? Were you there in terms of that, in terms of paramedic and your experiences there, Braden?
I ticked over 21 years. Enjoyed it thoroughly, still do. I've moved over to the MFS now and managed to get into the Fieries and just completed a drill squad and had my first shift last weekend, which was super exciting and a great experience. And I'm looking forward to the future there. But paramedics is an unreal job. I've met some awesome people, had some experiences that a lot of people don't need to have. But I've lived through some things, and as the paramedic team and workforce are just shoulder to shoulder. They stand by each other.
Yeah.
A lot like a footy team. Like I said, you go to some horrific things together, and experiences together, and you just lean on your your colleagues and your buddies, and that's what gets you through. And yeah, a great experience being able to help the community. And I got into that, probably a lot of the footy led to that. Like, I used to love the community days and you know, the family days down at Alberton with the footy club, and having all the people pat you on the back, and people love you for your football powers. But I was like, you know, I want to give back to these guys in some other way. Yeah, that sort of led me into that field, and yeah, managed to do that, hopefully pretty successfully. I haven't given it up completely yet. I'm hoping I can still do that part time and juggle the Fieries role as well. We'll just see how that goes over the next few months. But yeah, awesome experience, and it was great to be able to serve the community for 20 years.
Did you fall into that role, or is it something that you'd always sort of harboured a little bit of an ambition for?
Well, we mentioned the human movement and the sports science stuff. I was going down that path, so I had a bit of an interest in anatomy and physiology and stuff. And then I'd applied for the Fieries 2002 and missed out initially. And then I just saw an ad in the paper, to be honest. And I was like, oh, similar sort of shift work, same sort of conditions back then. And I was like, yeah, like that's going to be the health aspect, the body, the anatomy, and I'll be able to use some of the things I've learned. And back then you could do a diploma, get paid to train and work and do your studies on the side while you're getting paid. So that was easy for me, because I just had my first child. And I really wasn't going to go and study that, like paramedicine at uni, but to be able to be paid and work through your studies that way was a bit of a bonus. And yeah, so I sort of fell into it, but had a bit of interest in that sort of work and the knowledge that's required. So managed to stick it out for a lot of years.
And then when did the Fiery sort of come into it?
Probably the idea come about probably during COVID, to be honest. You know, those years were pretty solid in the ambulance work and health. And leading into COVID, the unexpected of what was to happen and how it was all going to unfold. And and obviously it's the health system is under pressure a lot. And just certain things were I wasn't really enjoying. So I started looking around, and I was like, what could I do? Could I go and drive a truck? Could I go back on the tools, be an electrician again, or do something else? And the Fieries advertised, and I applied and went through the process. That took 2 years to get in. So from first
bloody hard to get into, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, some first, you know, application, and then some of the testing and moving through the fitness tests and the aptitude tests and psych tests and medicals and things. It took a couple of years to finally get the call up. So super grateful that I managed to get there. And we were pretty proud, my family and myself, pretty proud last Friday when we graduated up at Wakefield Station, the Adelaide Station. It was a pretty cool moment. So,
Should be, mate.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. So,
I reckon you'll last longer. You'll last longer than Kane too. I'll do that as a prediction too, mate. All right. Thought I had to get one. I had to get one port dig in, mate. Well, yeah,
there goes his chances name of getting Kane on here anyway.
Nah, Kane's
his
all right.
His name gets mentioned a lot. Yes. Kane's all right. Yeah, like
I umpired Kane when I was at primary school level, so I go back a while with Kane.
Obviously took his option and took that pathway, and then had another opportunity to do something else. So good luck to him. No hard feelings there.
No, not at all.
Yeah. He made the right decision for himself. It's super,
he's creaming
super proud that he got in and for him, and then he's going on to do other things. So good luck to him.
No, only mucking around there, mate.
All good. Yeah.
The frustration there in terms of the paramedic world and all that, do you think, there's just some, hopefully, a bit of gradual improvement in general at the moment with things which are going on, with hopefully some more things being built and just a few more paramedics being employed, and hopefully the ramping times gradually improving as well. So just a little bit of gradual improvement there, mate.
Yeah, definitely they're investing in it, which is great. Giving a lot of young paramedics an opportunity to do their craft, which is great. The community is going to be better for it. To be able to have an ambulance respond when you need it is a lot better. I think their response times are improving. Obviously, ramping is still the major issue, and it's really hard to do. For me personally, as a paramedic, you've got all these skill set that you want to be using out in the community, and you got to sit on the ramp for 5 hours with a patient. We're not nurses. We want to get out and serve the community. So that's a tricky one for the guys and girls out there doing that role. You go, and then all of a sudden you're sitting in the back of the ambulance for 4 hours. So it's horrific for the patients, but it's also not what the paramedics want to do either. Mm. So it's a tough gig, that one. But I don't know how that's going to change other than big dollars throwing at the health service, new beds, but more beds means more nurses, more doctors, more infrastructure. So it's a tricky one. You said before, society's changed. Society calls ambulances for a range of different things that they never used to. So that adds to the pressures as well.
Yeah. Oh, look, the other thing, we're sport, we're talking sport in general, but also the health thing, there's a bottomless pit. You can never, any government can never win in that regard either. So it's always it's a hard one as well. So. Braden, so after, the AFL bit, you went back and played a bit at Port Districts, then a bit in the country as well, mate.
Yeah, that was a great experience as well. Having grown up Metro, Port Districts, and you hear the guys that came over from West when the Magpies had that area, like the Wakelands, Damien Sheehan, Troy Hull, a lot of guys like Greg Phillips and Daisy Borlase, and those boys come from over that way. You hear their stories about footy in the country and the cars around the oval and the netballers, they all come back to the club afterwards and everyone's have a big cook-up and, just enjoys each other's company. I wanted to just experience experience that. And Stephen Carter and Brian Lees were playing out in that northeastern area at the time. And Carts was my neighbour. Stephen Carter was my neighbour at the time as well. And he'd gone out there and he was in my ear about going out there. And we ended up, going to Udunda played with the Mighty Roosters for a couple of seasons and had a great time. It was an excellent experience. So
I can give Pete one bit about Port Districts. Mm. Now, if you go down to Port Districts and Rowan Smith's not there, ring the police and put in a missing persons report.
Yeah, he's part of the fabric. Oh, down
he's
there.
Great. He's a ripper bloke too.
He's a ripper. He's done a heap of different roles down there and given a lot back to that club. And he's still down there doing his thing and really, really enjoyed.
We're not talking only footy season. It's cricket as well that he's there as well as he's a remarkable role and he's pretty keen. He tells you, hey, Port District's my club too. So he's
invested.
And oh, look, invested. The grand final was ignored, I'm saying that Port District structures. In terms of defensively, the grand final this year against Glenunga is the best I've seen at community level football this year. And
they just stuck to it, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. They just stitched them up where Glenunga couldn't score. And Joey Haynes floating across the back and just the way they organised was super impressive. And even when their 3 goals up and the guy said, Glenunga get a couple of goals here, they're back in it. And I'm going... They're not going to kick the goals. The game's over. It's just Port Districts were just too good defensively. They were fantastic. So.
Yeah, they were. I went to the game and their commitment and they just stuck to the structures and went about it and just didn't relinquish anything. And Glenunga didn't have any answers. But I was out on the wing at Norwood Oval.
Yes, watching that was there, the Port District spot. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
it was a pretty good spot there. There was heaps of older guys there that had been, in flags, back in the day, and it was just awesome to be out there, be a part of all of that. And
trust me, the Nord Bar appreciated Port District's turnout. I was working the day, and yes, let's just say it was.
I think they're hoping for back-to-back grand finals, right?
Just say that.
I'd love that.
The Amateur League games are bigger than league games. By a long way.
The players come over at halftime and did their warm up off the fence there.
Yeah,
and I was in the crowd and I was just getting goosebumps. It was awesome. And then they just came on and just dominated after that. And yeah, it was good to be a part of.
So in terms of, no more footy involvement at the moment, and that could turn into female footy for you. That's for sure.
I've never really, other than that running I did with the power, I never really got involved. I had a few opportunities to do a few things over the years, but my girls have all been into the netball, and we're actually just rocking up at netball now to watch them play tonight. They never really got into the footy. They enjoy it watching, but never got into playing
fine.
It.
And that's fine.
I didn't want to miss any of their games. I just love being a part of their world. And I've got two daughters that are in their 20s now, and I still don't miss any of their games. Just always wanted to be a part of their sport and their development and not miss anything. So I didn't really want to go off and do my footy coaching or anything like that and miss all their achievements. So,
Braden, we'll go back. We'll go to the, your biggest influences and that are on a footy side and best players play. We'll do that. But now you've been with Paula, virtually since Adam and Eve were sharing apples. give Paula's influence on you and your three girls, mate.
We went to school together, Paula and I, and we were in different grades. But then I went to West Coast, and she ended up come over the year after. And she had a lot of culture. She's a ballet dancer back in her heyday, and she danced with a lot of companies around Australia and did some pretty awesome productions. And she danced with some of the Australian ballet girls and things like that. She brought a lot of culture to me and introduced me to another side of life, which was great.
I reckon she's next to you at the moment and you're having a giggle while you're talking, mate.
She's
going.
Not, but I might have to get the copy of this.
Definitely. Yep.
But so she works in a yoga mindfulness space now. And that, a lot of that has stemmed from her ballet days and her training back then. So she's managed to turn one of her passions into a profession. And she works with the Crows, and she's worked with the Reds, and she's worked with the Redbacks and the Strikers and Thunderbird netball. So she's been able to be involved with sport in that way, and have a small influence on people's development. And obviously she supported me throughout my sporting world. So now I've got to go. I can't holiday until the footy season's over because she's busy working with the Crows. So
nothing wrong
with
that.
Worst things that could happen. Yeah, that's for sure. Wrong with that.
Yeah. super, super grateful to have her in my life. And we've had three awesome children, girls together. And like I said, they're all playing netball and doing their thing, and I just love being a part of that now. So,
and you ticked off the elite athlete part, having girls too.
I hear that a bit, but I don't know. I look at Michael Wilson, and he's had some boys. True. So it's not for everyone, but I wouldn't change a thing. I really enjoy being part of my kids' world. So, as everyone does.
Okay, in terms of best players played with and against, hardest opponent, that side of things, mate.
And you can name a few, mate.
Go whichever direction you like.
Hardest is, I look back and I think about Paul Kelly. from the Swans. Overall player he was. He's super runner, super hard runner. I tagged Robert Harvey a couple of times. You know, he wasn't too bad.
He went all right. Yep.
he could play a little bit. So I had a pretty good game on Robert Harvey one day, kicked a couple of goals and had a fair few possessions. So I was pretty happy with that, running off the tag. But yeah, like those guys were just super, super good athletes and runners. And I probably had a pretty good fitness base to be able to go with them. So got a few jobs on some of those guys back then. So obviously Bisciuto was a gun as well, playing on him. Played on Craig Bradley a couple of times. I know the list goes on and on. Probably when I was with West Coast, I would be given a job.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I had to do a job on some of those guys. Some I was okay at, other days probably not so good. But it was just the experience of being able to play on those guys. You can't beat that.
Hey, look, greatly appreciate your time. Obviously, congratulations with your footy, but also really importantly what you've done off field as well. And all the best to you and Paula and the girls in the future, mate. Greatly appreciate it, Braden.
Thank you. Really enjoyed this chat, actually. You've triggered a lot of old memories for me, which is good to reflect on. You don't obviously do that, or I don't. So there's a lot of things I've forgotten, but you've brought back some good memories.
Oh,
so
don't worry. Actually was pretty good in terms of what he sent through. Actually, one other one he did bring up, just remembered. Uh-oh. Now, when you first gone to West Coast, about who picked you up from the airport and did you go straight to the pub?
Carl Langdon,
yes.
He picked me up in a red Porsche and he took me through the streets of Perth at light speed, and I was I'd had a Kingswood station wagon here in Adelaide, and that was just next level, and I was like, man, I want to get a red Porsche myself, but no, that never happened. But that was a pretty good introduction to their, well, they were rock stars.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Exactly. Yeah.
They were rock stars.
They were bigger than Ben Hur. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But super good guys, as every footy club has, everyone's, you have a few little exceptions, but most of the guys are super, super nice and you get along with them. But they were put on a pedestal for those early years, had their success, and they were living the lifestyle.
Yeah.
So
I
got to sell my Kingswood and I upgraded to I had a Daihatsu Feroza or something back then. So never quite got my hands on a sports car, but that's all right.
I hope you didn't have to pay for the drinks that night either.
I don't know. I don't think I paid for too many my time over there, especially when they won the grand final in 94. We just went anywhere in the town and enjoyed the hospitality from all the restaurants and different places. And, we got looked after, so enjoyed that time.
No, don't worry. My phone went into overdrive from the messages from Achie too. So, appreciated there.
Hopefully we've covered it all. But, mate, thank you very much for your time. And
awesome.
Really enjoyed going down memory lane with you.
Yep, and I'll touch base. Great. Sending that
good
through
on you,
to touch base. Thanks, mate.
Thank you, mate.
No problem.
Thanks, Braden.
See
appreciate
ya.
It, mate.
Bye.
Thanks, mate.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.